May 3rd, 2024. We're in Masechet Bava Kama on Daf Kafvav Amud Aleph at the very bottom of the Amud, three lines before the end of the Amud, the very beginning of the Gemara. The Gemara picks up where the Mishnah ended off. See, the Mishnah said the principle it set forth for us that Adamu Ad Le'olam, that a human being with regards to damage that they might cause to another person is Mu'ad Le'olam. There's no such thing as Tam. And there's no such situation of half damage as opposed to full damage. But moreover, the Mishnah told us, Le'ola means under all circumstances, in all situations. There's no distinction between Shogeg or Mezid, Ones or Rason. And under all and any circumstance, a person who damages and inflicts pain and causes harm to another person or their property is liable to pay for it. The end of the Mishnah, though, spelled out for some reason or another two cases. It mentioned, if you recall, the very end of the Mishnah, just the last two lines, it said, if a person was simeit ein havero, that's what we call habala, if a person blinded the eye of another, or shibere takelim, they broke the utensils of another, in both of those circumstances, mishalem nezik shalem. It seems straightforward and simple. Says the Gemara, those last two examples were purposeful to teach us a side but significant law. Says the Gemara, Katane, our Mishnah taught us, Simet en Havero Dumya Dishibere Takelim. The Mishnah was purposeful in placing what we call Habala, again, inflicting harm to another person's body, and Nezek, causing damage to their property, Dumya, similar one to the other. Teaching us something about the case of inflicting pain to another person's body. Again, Katane, our Mishnah taught us, Simet en Havero, it taught it in a fashion that when you blind the eye of a person, it's Dumya, it's in some way similar to the Shibere Takelim. Well, what do we know about the difference between, well, we don't know that much yet, but we do know human beings, we already cited more than once in our Masechet, have a particular and specific obligation. That's the Hamisha Devarim. Remember, if an animal, if your property, even if it's fire or your pit or something of that sort, causes harm, you pay nezik, you pay for the damage. If a human being inflicts pain, causes harm to another human being, under that circumstance, you pay not only damage, but four other obligations: pain, medical bills, loss of business, embarrassment. Those are the other obligations. Says the Gemara, well, let me focus on this similarity and understand the following. Mahatam nezik in arba'a devarim lo, afsime et en havero nezik in arba'a devarim lo. In, of course, in Aramaic, I know it's confusing, means yes, as opposed to in Hebrew means not. The Gemara says that what the Mishnah is alluding to, what it's hinting to in that final line, is the following law, that even when a human being causes pain and damages the body of another human being, only if it's purposeful, in other words, they on purpose, mindfully attack them, do they pay not only nezik, but those other four obligations, the pain, the embarrassment, etc. If, however, it was done accidentally, in that circumstance, we say it's similar to causing damage to their property. I cause damage to your property. I don't need to pay for your property's embarrassment, nor for your property's pain, etc. I pay only the damage. Says the Gemara, the final line in the Mishnah is there to teach us that the only time a human being, saying it in a sentence, in a word, pays not only damage, but all those other obligations, if they do it purposefully, with the objective of hurting the other person, then I pay all those other things. If I did it accidentally, if I did it by mistake, I don't pay those other things. It's as if, so to speak, I damaged your property, says the Gemara. Where'd you derive this from? Who said? I got in some sort of situation where I hurt you. Maybe under all circumstances, the Torah teaches, I don't only pay for the cause of damage to you, but I pay all those other bills. Says the Gemara, Minaha Nemile, what's your sourcing? What's the pasuk you can point to in the Torah to teach me this concept? Answers the Gemara, Amar Hizkiya, V'chen Tana Deve Hizkiya, Amar Kera, Petza Tahat Pasa, Lehayevo Al Hashogeg Kemezid, Ve'al Ha'ones Kerason. period. So before getting to that pasuk, you may have already noticed that pasuk isn't really answering the question that I just set forth for you. I said to you, the question should be, well, how do I know that in a situation where I did it accidentally, I'm not obligated? What did this pasuk teach me? This pasuk taught me, well, not exactly that. It taught me that I pay even when I am accidental, but that's not what we were looking for. Right? That's only talking about damages. But what about the issue we just addressed beforehand? So for that, you have to turn to Rashi. Rashi realizes the Gemara never really brought a proof for that. It says the Gemara, Nezek in arba'a devarim lo, Rashi, four lines from the bottom on Daf Kavava Mudalif, Dela mehayeve arba'a devarim, you're only obligated to pay for those four additional obligations, Ela o bemezid o karob lemezid, in circumstances where you're purposeful or what we call close to purposeful. We'll have opportunity to discuss what that means. Dumya, this is derived from making similarities to the context of the Torah. Where does the Torah say that you pay all those obligations in the context of Diki Yirivun Anashim? You hear those words? We know the word in Hebrew. A fight is a riv. The pasuk says when two people or several people have a quarrel, when they fight, oh, that means it's purposeful. Then, and only then do I pay, dehatam kitib, over there the pasuk says, ripui veshevet, it talks about the other obligations of medicine and loss of business, etc. Rabbeinu Hananel cites a different pasuk. Rabbeinu Hananel cites a pasuk from Sefer Vayikra, from Parashat Emor, where the pasuk says that if a person strikes another, be'even o be'egrof, egrof means with a fist. So the understanding is that any time you damage them, whether it's with a stone or with a fist, well, clearly if you do, you didn't accidentally strike them with your fist. That's how he derives this. But again, it means the first principle set forth for us in the Gemara is the only time I'm hayav in arba'a devarim, we're going to keep referring to it as those four additional payments, is if I do it purposefully, derived from either ki yirivuna nashim or o be'even o be'egrof. Next question. How do I know the... Yes, ki yirivuna nashim, when men fight, it means it has to be a purposeful fight. Even o be'egrof, if you strike a person with your fist or with a stone, or a stone or a fist, clearly the fist is purposeful. It means any other way of damaging him, even with a stone, it's got to be purposeful. You threw it at him as opposed to you kicked it by mistake or something like that. That's where that's derived from. The next issue is, okay, so basic fundamentals. How do you know Adam Mu'ad Le'olam Ben B'Shogeng Ben Mezid? How do I know that Nizik I pay even when I'm entirely accidental? If I'm not paying for those other four things, maybe if it was accidental, maybe unless I actually got into a fist fight with you, I'm not obligated, answers the Gemara with that here at the top of Daf Kafav Amud Bet. Amar Chizkiyah V'chin Tanad V'chizkiyah Amar Kira Petza Tahat Pasa. The word petza means a wound of some sort. Now, this is in the context of a person causing damage to another. And the pasuk has a lot of extra, seemingly, big English words, superfluous descriptions. It means that is just, I'm teaching you English as well. The Torah teaches, instead of just saying, you got in a fight and you pay for what you did, the Torah says, well, first and foremost, Rashi quotes a pasuk from later in Sefer Vayikra. So Rashi says, the first thing is, the pasuk says, ki ten mum ba'amito. If you cause a blemish to another person, ka'asher asa, that which you did, you have to pay. That's pretty clear. I don't need anything extra. Once I told you, God.
Is there anything defensive or offensive?
Yes, but not for the moment. Right now, offensive. We're only focusing on offensive. Jeffrey's asking, what if you're defending yourself? Are you going to be the same liability? Absolutely not. For the moment, let's just establish offensive. The pasuk initially, it's a little bit later, but the pasuk just clearly and straightforward says, if you wound another person, you pay that which you did. You have to make up for that. On the other hand, the pasuk says, and just an elongated description, it's almost flowery and poetic, kivya tahat kivya. I'm reading from this pasuk the Gemara is quoting. That's a burn for a burn. Petza tahat patza, a wound for a wound. Habura tahat habura, if you somehow to cause them damage, you have to get that damage back. Why all those additional descriptions? So for each one of them, the rabbis have a certain derasha to a certain extent. So picking up on this one, petza tahat patza, a wound for a wound, say the rabbis again, those words to begin with are what we call milim miyutarot. They're extra words. Anytime you have extra words in the Torah, which is, we believe, a book given to us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every word needs to be accounted for. If it seems like extra words, they're there for us to derive a law from. What do we derive from these words, Pesa tahat patza, lehayevo ala shogei kemezid ve'la ha'ones kerasones, to teach us that not only do you pay when you were purposeful, but the Torah goes on and says this for this and that for that, to tell you, among other things, you have to pay not only when you did it purposefully, but even if you did it accidentally. That's the derasha. The specifics of this derasha are interesting, because the words in our Gemara is that you pay for shogeg, we know what that means, accidental, kemezid, we know what that means, purposeful. The next word, val ha'ones, ones sounds like you didn't even intend, it's not shogeg, ones is even further removed. Ones is, I wasn't even in control of my body in this moment. I was so far removed from the action. Ones means, what's that? More than unintentional. Ones. But that's shogeg is unintentional. How do they translate the word ones? That's unwillingly. It wasn't even my will to do this. It's not that I realized what I was doing, it just didn't happen in a purposeful fashion. I didn't realize what was happening. That's ones. Ones is, you know, the classic terrible example of the word ones in the Torah is where a woman is raped. Rape is where ones. She didn't want that. That's by definition. That's what it means. Ones over here, it sounds like from our Gemara, you're obligated to pay even when you're ones. A pause for a second. Yesterday, we cited very briefly from the Tosafot and Daf Daled Amud Bet, which we actually learned together when we were there. We briefly noted it then. And then Judah yesterday remembered something along those lines when we quoted Nimukei Yosef. Tosafot cited from Talmud Yerushalmi. Talmud Yerushalmi says the following. It says, if you go to sleep and there's nothing next to you, and in the middle of the night, someone places something there or goes to sleep over there, and you, while you're sleeping, damage the item or blind them or hurt them, you're not liable. Tosafot's simple interpretation to that was, that's honest. You're hayav if you're shogeg. You knew what you were doing, you just didn't intend for it. Over here, you didn't even realize what you were doing. You were sleeping. And it's not as if you were negligent when you went to sleep. You went to sleep and there was nothing next to you. If there was something next to you, say that's closer to shogeg. It's closer to pishya. You were negligent over here, and that's what Tosafot. Now Tosafot and Daf Kaf Zayin Amud Bet in Dibura Matchil Ushmuel Amar cite this again. They cite that Talmud Yerushalmi and they question it from our Gemara. Wait a second, our Gemara. If I read the words properly, we just read them. It says Ve'al Ha'Ones Kirasun. Contradiction. What's the halakha? If I'm honest, again, the example we're giving for honest is I went to sleep, there was nothing next to me. In the middle of the night, I twisted and turned, I broke something. I didn't know that was there. I mean, you could, Harambam talks about, the question is how you qualify this, as a person. There might be. Hang tight one second. You sound like Bogan. Are you reading the notes or something? I don't know if they're giving you that here. I know you're ahead of us on this one. Don't worry, I just need to develop it before Bogan ruins it. Anyway, but Harambam talks about a person who's drunk. Drunk, again, Jared then says there might be levels of onus. Harambam says you're obligated. Is that part of this conversation? We're not 100% certain. That's a big conversation. But Tosafot and Daf Kavzayin Amud Bet says exactly this point, Jared's point. Yeah, Tosafot says there's a difference between onus and onus. In other words, it's what's called onus gamur and onus she'enol gamur. He says that Talmud Yerushalmi is talking about well, I went to sleep and there was nothing next. That's honest gamur. In that circumstance, the Gemara never said I'm obligated. This Gemara, although in the moment, we're not giving an example for what it means, onis she'ino gamur, but our Gemara is talking about closer to you could have been in control of it. That at the very least we need to establish. That's in contrast to, because where do we see the words onis she'ino gamur, anything of that sort? To Ramban Nachmani in Masechet Bava Mitzian Daf Pebet, which I gave you before the class, just in one line, and I don't intend on reading the whole thing, and really we'll discuss this in that Tosafot and Daf Kavzayin Amud Bet when they pick up on the sugya over there. But I just need to mention already now for the continued class, and when you talk about Adam Mu'ad Le'olam, this is the conversation. So, Abi, when the guy comes up to you in business and says, what are the liabilities of a human being? This is the conversation. Everybody, this is, the very least, you need to walk out and know there's a mahloket between Tosafot and Ramban Nachmani with regards to Adam Mu'ad Le'olam, the onus. The sugya is fantastic and beautiful. The Rishonim and the conversations with regards to any halachic ramifications in the circumstance of damage always revolve around this. Tosafot versus Ramban Nachmani. What do each of them mean? Why'd they say it or whatever? Onis. That's the question. So at the very least, let's read it briefly. Ramban Nachmani, and here it's on page Tafkof Kaf Aleph. We're really just going to read a few words for a moment. It's in Masech Bava Mitzian Daf Pebet, which is an important sugya for this as well. If on the right-hand column, again, Tafkof Kaf Aleph, you skip all the way down to where there's the first word on the line, right next to it, it's 209, the footnote. It says, V'samchu otam min ha-Yerushalmi, citing from Tosafot, the one we just quoted. Tosafot who says that when you're honest, gamur, when you're entirely, not accidental, but unintentional, I didn't mean to do this, you're patur in nezek as a human being. She'amru, they leaned on Tosafot in coming across, bringing this. She'amru b'yashenu b'chaverov yashen etzlohu mu'ad. Right, that's what Tosafot said. They say Talmud Yerushalmi, our parallel Gemarot in Talmud Yerushalmi teach us that even when you're sleeping, excuse me, not even, when you're sleeping and something comes afterwards, you're not liable. What, by the way, would be the onus She'eno gamur, where you're hayav according to Tosafot? You're ahead of us in the Gemara. If something was there before you went to sleep, right? I said a moment ago, I'm not going to give an example. That's the example, right? Difference is, I go to sleep and there's an item next to me, or I go to sleep and there's no item next to me. Even when there's an item next to me, when I toss and turn in my sleep, I didn't do it purposely. On a she'eno gamur. Drunk might be on a she'eno gamur as well. You put yourself in that position. It's true, maybe you got intoxicated, inebriated to the state where you don't know what you're doing. I can accept, but you put yourself in that situation. That might be on a she'eno gamur where Tosafot says you're hayav. Ramban Nachmani says, V'yev shel ha'amida, dehatam mishum desheni pasha be'atzmo. That's all the words you need. So Ramban Nachmani disagrees. How does he contend with the Talmud Yerushalmi? Hatam means over there. Mishum desheni, because the second guy, pasha be'atzmo. The guy who puts the item there, the guy who lies down next to you, it's his fault. In other words, the only reason in that situation you're patur is not because your actions exempt yourself, it's because the other guy's actions obligate him. He was the one who was negligent. Yes. He put his thing or anything next to you when you were sleeping. You are honest. But what's that? Nice. So says Nathan, it's along the lines of it's a manativira tavan. Not exactly the same, because I don't know over there. It's gravitational pull over here. I'm sleeping. Who said I'm going to toss and turn? But along those lines, again, we say that the pishia is on the other, without getting fully into it. And Judah's right. We need to immerse ourselves in this. But that's on Daf Kaf Zayin. We'll get more into this. It means, though, for principle, and we're going to address this briefly in the Gemara again with the Shita Mikubetzit, in playing it out in our Gemara, in Boganim's case, there's a mahloket, there's a dispute between Tosafot and Ramban Nachmani with regards to a human being who be'ones causes damage. Again, you could come up with a lot of these types of situations in today's day and age. The majority of cases of damage, unless the guy is a vicious villain who's going after someone else, I caused damage, I was probably be'ones. I probably did it, not only unwillingly, but unknowingly. I didn't even know that that was happening. What's the halakha? We already know. Tosafot would tell me if it's ones gamur patur. Ramban Nachmani says hayav. easiest proof for Ramban Nachmani, second line in our Gemara, third line in our Gemara, ve'al ha'ones kerason. The words are pretty strong. Ramban, Tosafot need to use their fingers. One type of ones as opposed to another type of ones. Says Ramban Nachmani, what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, you're hayaf for ones. That's it. Talmud Yerushalmi, okay, so it's not our Talmud. Okay, but there's larger and longer conversations about this. That's the beginning of it.
Doing the action?
Can't be.
Why?
Then he's not honest.
Rabbi, this pasuk negligent in...
Negligent already moves you away from honest. Honest means... Yeah.
Rabbi, this pasuk can come from the two people fighting when they hit a pregnant woman or and they cause damage. So, what has come from they didn't intend to hit that woman, they intended to fight with that other person. So, it wasn't their intention, but it resulted. So, I think the way... the onus is if it's shogeg, you intentionally meant to hit that person and cause damage, you chayav. And if you didn't, you're also chayav. But I think what Tosafot is talking about is totally different. I don't know why we're using the same terminology.
I understand. So Joey Levy is just pointing out that if, and we're generally not doing that, it doesn't seem to me we're doing that over here, if we're really going to be contextually sensitive, this pasuk, I quoted it to you, even though I gave you some context, a little bit in a vacuum. Its full context is it's in the midst of two people fighting with one another. And then they struck a woman and her babies, she was pregnant, come out and they die. We see that as a damaged situation. Continues the Gemara, the Torah, and it says, you should know, habura tahat habura, kiviya tahat habura, and so forth. So he says, well, you see, you're listening to the context? The context over here needs to be taken into account. The Gemara doesn't seem to be doing so. The Gemara says, and it's not impossible read, the Torah gives me that case. It's posek halacha in that case. Then the Torah, so to speak, says, pause for a second. Let me tell you how damage works. Damage works like this. Habura tahat habura, ayin tahat ayin, shen tahat shen, etc. It's somewhat disassociated from that case. It doesn't need to be followed and forwarded back to that case in terms of interpreting the continued words. However, notably, I don't even know if that's where you're deriving from, when we get to the eighth perek, the Harambam certainly calls attention to the context over there. There is a contextual significance to it for our purposes, not where we're going. We're just saying it's extra words in the Torah to teach you.
What's that? Why aren't these
extra
words? There's another five
in the Torah. This is a good question as well. The Gemara in the 8th Perek will make derashot on almost all of them. Why is it specifically these to teach us this is a good question.
It's specific.
What? No, but they all are. They all are. They all are. What about habura? What about kiviya tahat kiviya? Habura tahat habura? All right.
Different types of injuries. They're working backwards.
Good. Good, but the point is they're all extra, potentially.
But each one
I'm telling you that the derasha over here, which is the way you learn this, is from extra words in the Torah. Why is it these extra words? And the Gemara is going to challenge it right now. The Gemara says, "Oh, but I need those words to teach me something else." I'm going to let it answer. But what? Do you understand what I'm saying?
No,
that's all right.
I'm just saying, it's an I is unique in that it sees, but you have two.
Good. Okay. So what's unique about Petza?
That's is a blemish that has a certain amount of depth or something, and then a kiviyah.
And as a result, it teaches me. Shogeg kemezid?
Yeah, because each one is a level of hurt that you wouldn't think would apply. One is too minimum, one is maximum. Like
and you see from this shogeg kemezid somehow.
Oh, I don't know.
That's the point.
Yeah, yeah,
okay, regardless, says the Gemara, wait a second, as I told you a moment ago, that pasuk, petza tahat patza, that's what's teaching you, a wound for a wound, that's what's teaching you, lehayev ala shogek mezid ala ones kerason, that you obligate a human being who inflicts pain or damage to another thing, irrespective of their intention or their purpose, hay mi ba'e le, hay means this, meaning that pasuk, mi ba'e le, we need it, in other words, it is used to teach another law, liten sa'ar b'makom nezek. It teaches us an altogether different law. What's that altogether different law? Well, we know the word sa'ar already. Sa'ar means pain. B'makom nezek means pain even when you caused damage. What does that mean? It means, I'm going to use Rashi and then briefly Tosafot without getting into the nitty-gritty of Tosafot on this. It means, briefly speaking, I can come up with several, I'll tell you Rashi and I'll tell you Tosafot, examples for this, situations of where this pain that I inflicted to you or someone did to another person without causing a monetary obligation for damage. Rashi, quoting from the Gemara later on, the 8th Perek, talks about the following. I take some sort of skewer, some sort of hot rod, and I touch it or push it to your fingernail. Fingernails are not really very valuable, although they're nice and useful. They regrow, they repair. What happened when you burnt my fingernail? You caused pain. You didn't cause damage. You caused pain, not damage. In such a situation, I may have said when the Torah says, and when we derive that you have to pay for paining another person, it's when you pain them and didn't damage them. You damage them, you pay for the damage. Chalam. This pasuk, petza tahat patza, teaches me, the rabbis tell us later on and again over here, teaches me that even when I'm paying for damage as well, yani, I actually gave you a stab, I punched you, I'm now going to have to pay for damage, and tzar, that's the chidush. Tosafot,
go ahead.
No, excellent. Now, excellent. The point is, we are giving one example. When we say tsa'ar b'makom nezik, Tosafot on the right-hand side, as a matter of fact, just points out that the Gemara in the beginning of the 8th Perek of Masechet, here in our Masechet, points out that it's not only tsa'ar, it's also ripui and boshet. And boshet. It's the whole, all four of those are derived from this pasuk. Again, the concept being that I don't only pay for it if I embarrassed him and didn't cause a damage in terms of monetary payment, but even when I have the monetary damage, Tosafot, because of technicality of what a Gemara seems to bring us in opposite direction, say that what we're referring to over here is maybe on his skin. It made a mark. It made a mark, but not a mark to the extent that you'd have to pay money for that damage, but it gave pain. And says the Gemara, not only that, but when you did more than a mark. So again, the Gemara's challenge, though, for our purposes now, goes as follows. This basu petza tahat patza, I thought you were telling me in this moment, is teaching me that if I damage another person, irrespective of whether I did it purposefully or accidentally, I'm obligated. But the rabbis learned another law. They learned sa'ar b'makom nezik. They learned that I pay all those four obligations, not only independent of damage, but when I damage, I damaged and I caused embarrassment, I damaged and I caused pain, I have to pay that as well. That's a novelty. Maybe the Torah is saying, listen, you pay damage, khalas, that's it. You caused separate, no damage, but sa'ar pain, you pay pain. Who said you pay the two together? Petza tahat patza, says the Gemara. Haimi ba'ele li ten sa'ar b'makom nezik, answers the Gemara, typical Gemara answer. Everything here is extra in this pasuk. We call it miutar. Every word, every letter over here. Im ken lichtov kera petza bipatza. If the Torah wanted to teach me just one of these laws, just the law of tzar b'makom nezek, it could have said petza bipatza. In other words, in Hebrew, I could say a wound for a wound by saving that word tahat, which literally means underneath or in place of. Be means for. So I could have said petza bipatza. What's that extra word? Tahat mai, tahat patza, shema mina tarte. We learn two laws from this. The two laws again are to tell me that adam mu'ad le'olam, a person's obligated irrespective of whether it was purposeful or accidental, irrespective of whether it was intentional or unintentional. And in addition to that, the law that all those four things are obligated even b'makom nezik. So as the Gemara, now that we've established primary fundamentals, now that we've set up our derashot, let's get into some examples. Now, examples are not crazy and the halachot are not wild, but they're significant. Amar Rabbah. Rabbah, reflecting on Adam Mu'ad Le'olam, wants to break this down. He wants to talk about many situations where you might have a similar action and what sort of liabilities, because they get broken down differently. Amar Rabbah, Ev Hayita Even Munahat Lo Beheko Velo Hikirba Ve'amad Ve'nafila. If a person has a stone on their hek, how do they translate hek? Lap. Good. If they have a stone on their lap and they don't realize that the stone is on their lap, and they get up and the stone falls out and damages something, breaks the glass table in front of them, falls on it. It was a heavy one. I don't know how you didn't realize it fell onto the guy next to him, broke his toe, something of that sort. What's the halakha linyan nizikin hayav? Pause for a second. It says that with regards to damage, you are obligated to pay. I want to pause on this for a moment or two. Why are you obligated to pay?
You should have checked himself.
Okay, 1 second. So is this situation honest or shogeg? You gave one answer, he gave another. Honest. So we can argue one of two things. This sounds like when I went to sleep and I didn't realize. Because I didn't, lohi kirba, I didn't even realize I had the stone on me. Isn't that similar to when I went to sleep? What's that? It might be. So Shita Mikubetze quotes from Rabbeinu Yohanan, who, if you take a look here, it's on the left hand, it's on page Tafresh Yod, on the page that I gave you. Velohi kirba, he adds the word in his Gemara, I guess he has it, me'olam. He says, kegon, for example, are you going to come up with a situation? I have a rock on me, I didn't realize. Shehiniha lo adam ahir b'heko b'od shahaya yashin. So he adds in a detail, he says, how are you going to come up with a situation where there's this rock on you and didn't realize you must have been sleeping? Ah, says Rabbeinu Yonatan, don't think I don't know the Talmud Yerushalmi. Ubishikam al raglav nafilaha even mechiko. I woke up and I stand up and it falls out. Vishibirata kelim, it broke utensils. O simet en chavero, I don't know where it blinds your friend. I said it broke his toe. Le'inyan nizikin hayav, deharabinan, shogek mezid ve'onis kerazon. The reason you're obligated nizikin is ones kerazon shogeg kemezin velo dame. Now, and it's not similar to. He's already implying there's a difficulty. I have to say it's not similar because you may have thought not similar to what leze sheyashen velo haya adam sivivo, to a situation where I went to sleep and there was no one around me. Uba adam v'yashen etzlo, and someone comes and sleeps next to him. V'sime hayashen ein ze shepatur. In that situation, if I damaged the guy when I went to sleep and there was no one next to me, I'm patur. In such a situation, I'm not obligated to pay the other guy. Talmud Yerushalm is what we quoted. Daf Dalit. En hata'am mishum de lahava leyedia, el mishum zeha yashin hu ha mu'ad. Says Rabbeinu Yohanan, you want to know why over there you're not obligated? Because the guy who slept next to you after you were already sleeping, his fault. That's what the footnote says. He's going like Ramban Nachmani. Remember, Ramban said, you are obligated when you're be'onis. It was unintentional. I don't care. Tough luck. The Torah says, pesa tachat patza, you're obligated to pay. That situation is different. Why is that situation different? Because the guy. What's that?
Why is the guy
that the Ramban's left? He is. That's. Uh-oh, 1 second. What, in our Gemara?
Someone put the Ramban's left?
No, he was on his left. No. Someone put it while he was sleeping. The understanding of Rabbeinu Yohanan, I give me a second on that. At the very least, you're more obligated because when you woke up, you should have noticed. There's a difference between when you're sleeping that it happened and when you woke up, and it has to be as a result. The other guy says, I figured when you woke up, your normal thing is to realize it. That's what it's got to be. So Rabbeinu Yohanan distinguishes between, again, that case in Talmud Yerushalmi. He says over there, the reason that you're not obligated is not because you were honest. Honest, you'd be hayavim. Yeah, you'd be absolute. The reason is because the guy's lay down next to you. It's his fault. He shouldn't have laid down while you were sleeping already. Says Rabbeinu Yonatan, that's not the case over here. The situation says Judah, but wait a second, the guy put the rock on you. You woke up. You should have noticed that it was there. It means it's not, it means that in our Gemara, indeed, you'd be obligated to be honest. The only reason you're patur in situations where it seems like it's honest is because it's more than honest. It's the other guy's fault. Tosafot, in contrast, will have difficulty with this or no difficulty with this. Tosafot should have a little bit more difficulty over here. Why are you obligated? Tosafot told us in all honest situations, you're patur. That's what it seems, honest gamur. Why is this case not an honest gamur? Apparently, even according to Tosafot, that's what the footnote points out from Nimukei Yosef, you have to argue in this situation, the fact that he woke up, it's not, what's that?
He wasn't sleeping
any longer. Not sleeping any longer means I'm no longer honest. Right. That's what you have to argue. All right, anyway, back in our Gemara, says the Gemara again, back to Amar Rabba Hayita Evin Munahad lo Behiko, Velo Hikirba Ve'amad Ve'nafela. If he didn't realize that the rock was on him and it falls, Le'inyan Nizikin Hayav, he's obligated with regards to Nezik. Is he going to be obligated with the four additional obligations? Certainly not. It's shogeg. We said they're not the same. Where did we derive that from? One of those two pesukim, ki duvun, when we're fighting, or even or egrof. Rabbeinu Hananel, le'inyan arba advarim patur. You don't pay for the additional four things unless it's purposeful. We established that. Next, le'inyan Shabbat. What about a Shabbat? It didn't fall out per se. Maybe it did fall out, but you got up and you carried it for amot. You got up and it made a habura, it made a black and blue mark on another person. Both of those, carrying it 4 amot, 6 feet, would be a melacha on Shabbat. Causing a bruise to another person on Shabbat, to yourself on Shabbat, is an obligation as well. You hayav in this situation. I went to sleep, I didn't realize the rock was there. I woke up and the rock caused a melacha on Shabbat. Obligated or not obligated, same as nezik, or similar to arba'at devarim, melechet mahashevet asra Torah. The Torah, at the beginning of Parashat Vayakel, when it describes Shabbat, it does it in close proximity to the Mishkan. The Mishkan, the repeated line in the Torah is, it was melechet mahashevet. Mahashevet, you hear the word mahshava, thought, thoughtful, intentional. Our principle when it comes to Hilchot Shabbat is, you're obligated only when you did a thoughtful, principled action, something that was mindful and knowing. And as a result, in this situation, it was not so. Patur on Shabbat. You're not obligated with regards to, what's that? It depends exactly how we qualify this. If it's mitasek, even midrabbanan. The assumption is even midrabbanan. I shouldn't have said patur, I should have said mutar. And last, nizikin hayav. Said it, right? Leinyan nizikin hayav. Leinyan arba dvarim patur. Leinyan Shabbat, patur, mutar. Why melechet machshevet asrat Torah? Lastly, that's what Nathan just asked. Probably mutar. It's probably mitasek and entirely mutar.
Okay.
Even though the Gemara doesn't use the lashon of mitasek, that
right.
He showed the
acharonim
to.
But
the Gemara didn't say those words. The Gemara just said melech machshevet asra Torah. I used the word patur, and then I corrected myself. It doesn't say one way or another. It just says that le'inyan galut patur. What does that mean, le'inyan galut? Galut means exile. What's exile in this context? We're talking about ir miklat. Ir miklat. The Torah tells us in two places: if a person kills someone accidentally. If a person kills someone accidentally, they need to, and they can, run to this city of refuge, known as an Ir Miklat, where they can and need to hang out so that the family members don't come and kill them. Why in this situation, where the person accidentally killed a person, is he patur? Why is he patur? Explains Rashi, because the Pasuk says, Makeh Nefesh Bishgaga. The Pasuk says that you strike a person Bishgaga. Bishgaga means I realize that I'm striking him, I just didn't mean to kill him. Over here, it's beyond that. It's Ones, or it's Karob Le Ones, and as a result, Patur from Galut. Galut is only Shogeg. Shogeg means I knew the action, I just didn't realize the consequence. Lastly, Linyan Eved, and we'll pause with this, we'll just address what it means. Linyan Eved, halakha, with regards to an Eved Knaani, a non-Jewish slave, is that if you blind their eye, you knock out their tooth, or any of their 24 other vital organs, the halakha in such a situation is they get to go free. What if the rock was placed on me, I went to sleep, I wake up and the rock flies out and breaks his tooth, knocks out his tooth, blinds him or knocks out one of these vital body parts? What's the halakha in such a situation? The Gemara will say it's a machloket between Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel and Chachamim. We'll begin with that next time. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen v'amen.